Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice. After a string of hits on modern rock radio, Hoobastank had their only crossover success in 2004 with The Reason. This anthem of love became unavoidable for years to follow. And this week, Michael and Dave of the Center Cut podcast are joining us to discuss the song and whether the band was worthy of massive success or just Hoobastinks. And so I have to say before I go,
all you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever. And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it One Hit Thunder?
All right, guys, well, the first thing I want to ask you is, have either of you or both of you ever eaten a Who burrito?
Nope. I can't say I have.
You have no idea what I'm talking about here?
Nope.
No.
So I'm not sure what year it was. It was maybe like 2008 or something. I should have done better research on that. But Denny's had a rock star menu, and one of the things on there was a Hoobastank themed burrito, which was called the Who Burrito, which people loved it so much that there were like petitions to get it back on the menu after they're like, rock star menu thing ended. It was, and I never had it because I don't eat bird. It was crispy chicken strips, pepper jack cheese, the best type of cheese, I will add, my favorite type of cheese, cheese sauce, fried onion crispers, and a hint of barbecue sauce. So,
I mean, that sounds like a pretty good fucking burrito.
Yeah.
That sounds
ridiculously amazing.
So swap it out. Swap out that chicken for some fake chicken for me or something. It does sound really good. Punchline was on tour at the time, and I remember going to Denny's and like looking at this menu and being like, what the hell is this? Because there was also on this same menu at Denny's, there was a Taking Back Sunday melty grilled chicken and sausage quesadilla. There was the Great Egg Steak, which was boys like girls themed meal. And there was the hot and cold cherry chocolate cappuccino, which was a Katy Perry themed cappuccino, I guess. But I remember being like, half the bands on here we like played shows with, or we had just, I don't know, in the past year or two before that, like done a whole tour with Boys Like Girls. I was like, how do they get their own thing at Denny's? I don't even, are they that big to have their own thing at Denny's?
I was thinking that because like, I remember Boys Like Girls. I remember that self-titled album was like MySpace big, but I didn't know it was Denny's.
It was Denny's big, man.
It was Denny's big.
No, their theme song was on the what's that? The Amazing Race. It was on The Amazing Race. So they were pretty big.
They had like three big hits off of that. Well, they had three songs I remember being hits off of that album.
All right, if you're gonna throw around songs being hits that easily, Matt, then I don't know why you allowed these dudes to pick Hoobastank today, because I know this is going to be one of those episodes where people are like, what are you talking about, Huba Stank's a one-hit wonder? For starters, I know, Mike and Dave, you guys gave us these choices of different songs that you maybe wanted to do. Matt shut you down on a lot of them. No, we're not going to do Jimmy Eat World. We don't consider them a one-hit wonder. No, we're not going to do... Who else did you shut them down on? Bloodhound Gang? I would have gave them a pass.
I think Goldfinger was the other one, too.
Yeah, okay. Goldfinger, I could have seen over Huba Stank, maybe, but... But first, I'll give you guys a chance to tell us why you chose Huba Stank, and then we'll let Matt defend why he let it pass.
I wanted to pick something obnoxious.
Okay.
Right. What it boils down to.
All right.
And I think this qualifies.
So I just want to clear one thing, that Boys Like Girls had not one, not two, but three top 40 hits, and all three of them were in the top 20.
Wow. So I didn't even know that.
That's bigger than Huba Stank's other songs.
There's no way in hell Boys Like Girls are bigger than Huba Stank. I'm going to say that right now. That's not possible.
It's because of this one song that Huba Stank is bigger.
Yeah, okay. This song is enormous. Do either of you guys like this song is an important question.
So I don't mind Huba Stank as a band. This isn't my favorite song of theirs.
Okay.
But I don't mind this song. I mean, it's not great.
I don't like this song. And going into this, I thought that I hated everything about Huba Stank. We'll talk about it. But I guess I'll semi-spoil it. I didn't hate some of their older stuff as much as I thought I would.
Okay, yeah. And Matt, you let this pass as a one-hit wonder. And something interesting that Matt shared with us while we were getting prepared to start recording is that he does not like Huba Stank, and that is unbelievable to me because this dude likes everything. Are you telling me you didn't have your least favorite Huba Stank song on a mix CD?
I used to legitimately, I remember this was 2004, right? So it was my senior year of high school. And I literally used to refer to Huba Stank as the reason I stopped listening to radio. Like, because it was so obnoxious at that point that it felt like every time if I turned on the car and there wasn't a CD in the disc player and it just went to my radio station, it was always that dun, 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 single note piano kicking off the song. And I was like, oh no, not Huba Stank again.
Yeah. Okay. And I got to make note of this because I believe Michael told me this, right? That you also did the least favorite song, making mix CDs of your least favorite song CD.
Similar. I would, whenever I bought a new CD, I would spend time and actually rank the songs by how much I liked them. I would give them like a scale, and then I would focus on the songs that were on the lower end of the scale to see if they could rise up from the bottom.
I like that. I like
Mike and I
things.
Are just stat guys.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
It, exactly. It just, we're stat guys. We're stat guys. It's important.
I like ranking things, so I don't blame you guys there. But when we're talking about Huba Stank here, this song, it's so straightforward and so like lowest common denominator, like pandering or something. Like, it just feels so inauthentic to me. It just sounds like, okay, we gotta write this hit song. What can we do here? Who was listening to this song and feeling real emotions at the time? Was it people who never heard another song before and only turned on the radio at that moment? I don't understand, like, who that was. It wasn't people that were into hard rock. Who made this song so huge is what I want to
know. I've got one person I can suggest, which is the writing team at Friends, because they were like, this is the song that will be in the final episode of the show to tie all the storylines together.
Wow.
I know the answer.
Okay, who is it?
I think the number one reason that this song is a hit is the first line of the song. I'm not even joking. I'm not a perfect person. The average white American just wants to listen to a song talking about how much of a piece of shit they are. That's the key to a hit song. Chris, if you want your first hit, there just needs to be a song on your next album titled I Suck. That's it. Trust me on this.
You are absolutely 1,000% right. And I'll tell you why is because there has been in the past year or so a TikTok challenge, the I'm not a perfect person challenge, where I watched so many of these videos today. it is people taking that first line. These are like, I'm talking 15-second videos. Just taking that first line, putting this weird effect on themselves, and then it's either on the screen some sort of fact about themselves, or it's like a video of that thing, of how terrible they are.
Yeah.
I think my favorite one that I saw when I was looking at them was when you're trash talking Jeff Bezos with your friends and an Amazon package shows up at your front door.
Right. Yeah. The one I saw was when you're a feminist but your cat emoji starts to tingle when he calls you a slut. That was the one I saw. And then ever since I watched these today, I've been thinking, like, as soon as we get off here, I'm not even kidding, guys, as soon as we get off here, I'm gonna make one of these, because I am on TikTok now, and I actually like TikTok. I think it's pretty good. I'm still debating what I'm gonna do, and I might ponder this a little longer. I might not do it immediately, but a couple of mine were either that after I eat breakfast, which is generally healthy eggs and yogurt and stuff, I always have breakfast dessert, which is a big handful of mini Kit Kats. So I'm not a perfect person in that regard. And or it could be the fact that I only wash my shower towel once every like 3 weeks. I only wash it when I go to dry myself and it's damp from the last shower. Then I'm like, okay, I need a new towel.
My wife forces me to switch mine out, and I wouldn't. I would be with you. I'd be the same thing. But my wife, like, takes it from me.
Right. How often?
So she probably takes it from me maybe every 4 or 5 days, but I would definitely go weeks.
That's okay.
See, I'm a weekly guy.
Yeah.
Every Sunday, I switch out the towel.
I like that routine. But yeah. I get the 4 or 5 days, that's not bad. My friend Johnny, he's every day. A new towel every day.
Insane.
All he does is wash towels all his life. He's just going to be...
That's just wasteful.
Yeah. I mean, you're coming out of the shower, you are clean. You're as clean as you're ever going to be. And then you're drying your clean body with it. Hang it up, let it dry, and dry your clean body with it again. People act like you're... People, well, yeah, will reference like, oh, you're drying your butt and your genitals or whatever. But like...
You should have just washed those. Yes. Did you not just wash those?
Yes, those are very
clean. What were
you
doing in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've never been cleaner than the second that towel touches them, honestly.
Michael, how often do you switch out your towel? I want to know.
So I just need to clarify. Are we talking the hand towel or the towel that I actually dry my body with?
The body towel.
The post-shower towel.
What are you talking about?
The hand towel can go years.
Do you just use a hand towel to dry up just your balls or something weird?
No. So the body towel, I go every 2 showers.
Wow.
Every 2 days.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
Dang. And this dude loves to shower. I learned that. I did the Center Cut podcast not that long ago. I'm going to plug that real quick. If you haven't checked out the Center Cut, you should go listen to it, especially my episode. These two dudes watch the first 15 minutes and the last 15 minutes of a movie they've never seen. And it is the guest's responsibility to then quiz them, where they compete against each other to see who can answer the questions of what happens in between. For our episode, we did Midsummer, and I thought it was amazing. It was one of my favorite podcasts that I've ever been a guest on. And so you should go listen to that. But in that episode, I learned how much you love to shower, Michael. You are a shower man.
I am. It's very important to me. It's been over 10 years since I've not showered in a day.
Wow.
I'm right there with you. I'm a daily shower guy. I also, and this is a weird shower habit of mine, is if I'm staying in a hotel room, there's a chance of 2 or 3 showers in a single day just cause. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm like, I can have this, I can shower as long as I want. I don't have to worry about a water bill. And mm-hmm. I'm just going to enjoy, I'm going to put on a podcast. I'm just going to stand in this scalding hot shower until the podcast is over.
Some people like go out and like see the place they're at. You're like, no, this is me time. I just need to be in the shower, just hanging out.
I treat staying at a hotel at 36 the way that Kevin McAllister treated staying in a hotel.
Bringing it back to Hoobastank, they are a band for people who don't shower daily, I think is what it boils down to.
I do have a Hoobastank question for y'all. Was the reason the first Hoobastank song you ever heard?
No,
actually. It was Crawling in the Dark for me.
Same.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And that's one of those multiple songs that I was like, oh, this seems like a hit. So does Running Away. So does... that Same Direction song. These all seem like pretty big songs to me. And I will make note, in doing my research, see, I wrote this band off. I was way too cool for this band.
Mm-hmm.
And when I listen to them now, I'm like, oh, this is like way better than a lot of bands that kind of emulated this and then threw in like unnecessary screaming. That Running Away song and Crawling in the Dark, I think those songs are kind of good. That Crawling in the Dark song, I like the chorus. Like, it goes back and forth where it's like a breakdown beat, and then it picks back up, like, within the chorus. I think that's pretty cool. Like, I don't think these are bad songs. I'm going to be honest, and I'm a critic.
One of the things that I learned about Hoobastank while doing the research, and it, as soon as I read this sentence, it was like a million different things clicked in my head where I was like, this all suddenly makes so much more sense. Is that they frequently played shows with a then unknown Incubus.
Mm-hmm. You're just realizing this?
I didn't really listen to a lot of Incubus. Incubus song I knew for a while was the acoustic one, dude, that Drive song.
Dude, from the first time I heard Hoobastank, I was like, oh, this is like Diet Incubus. This is, and dude, I couldn't believe I was ready to like talk about this, and then it wasn't in the notes, and then I was like, this isn't in the notes for this that Matt sent me. And then I looked at myself, I'm like, oh, so for the past, whatever, 20 years, I've thought that the singer of Hoobastank was the brother of the singer of Incubus. Somebody told me that a long time ago, and I have just believed that for decades, and I just found out right now that they are not. And I just always assumed these bands were like literal brother bands. And I think Incubus is kind of good. Like, I don't celebrate their entire catalog, but like that, what's it called? That Morning View or whatever it's called. That album,
yeah, Morning View.
Yeah, that album's good, and they're a good band. And both these bands, like, I don't know what their style is. It's kind of like on the edge of nu metal, but It's also like funky a little bit. So it's kind of on the edge of like the Red Hot Chili Peppers or something. Like, I don't know where they fit. I know they fit on modern rock radio like a glove. That might be my issue with them. I don't think the songs are that bad, minus the reason.
I think one of the other things that jumped out at me with Hoobastank, first of all, apparently before they got signed, they had two sax players in their band.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
I don't know what to think about them. I don't know that I guess they released an album like in the past few years, 2018 or something. I imagine they're still popular. I saw, actually, you know who just toured with them, Matt? Wheatus.
Oh.
Interesting.
Wheatus, Living Color. I think that tour is happening right now.
They're on tour right now.
Yeah.
That tour just started.
No, it's like the second part of it, but it's Wheatus, Hoobastank, Living Color, and Everclear are touring together.
Baby.
It's like the Summerland tour.
I was going to say, is that Summerland? Are they finally bringing the Summerland tour back?
Yep, it is. Our good buddy and friend of the podcast, Matt Milligan, would be a good person to ask if Hoobastank's good. I'm sure he's not going to talk shit on him, but...
This is the problem that I have with Hoobastank, and I think it's what caused me to think that I hated them before I actually gave them a fair chance. I think it's their name. I think it's far and away the worst part about them.
What's wrong with their name?
I don't think we'd be covering them on this episode if they had a halfway normal band name.
I guess it's that Stank is
That's
in their
what
name.
It is. Yeah, you can't put Stank in your name and expect people to take you seriously. It's a fatal flaw. The first part is a hooba. Like, what's a hooba?
Michael, can I ask what your rap name was again?
It was MC Pongo Puse, but that's not the point here.
Fine.
So,
yeah.
No, this is my favorite part, though. Before they were Hoobastank, they were Hoobastank. They were Hoobastank. And they changed the U to an A.
Yeah.
Once they got signed.
I would like to challenge your theory here, considering this band had like this enormous song. Okay, maybe it caught people's attention. You know, maybe if they would have been called Lake Shore Sand Boys, that I don't know. Like, I don't. That's that was all I could think of was Lake Shore Sand Boys.
I suddenly understand why Punchline got their name and is stuck with it for 25 years.
Well, Lake Shore Sand Boys might not have had this hit. I don't know.
According to like the bassist, I want to say it is, or I don't know, one of the guys in the band said that the name came from the fact that the lead singer Rob was completely unable to pronounce a German named street in their town. And I'm guessing it was that Hoobu stank and he was pronouncing it Hoobastank. So that's like how that happened. But like, also, why would you name a street in your town Hoobastank or whatever?
Whatever was even close to that would also be terrible. Yeah.
Well, why do you think they changed the U to the A? What's that all about?
Maybe there was already a Hoobastank.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
They got a cease and desist.
Hey, they also have this song. I don't know if you guys know this song. I brought it up before, but they have a song called Same Direction, which was kind of a hit for them, I think, from 2005. And I was watching the music video. First of all, the music video has Kanye West, Chester Bennington, and the singer of Joel Madden.
Yeah, the lead singer from Good Charlotte.
Yeah. Has all three of them, like, mouthing the word, lip syncing the words to the song in the music video. I'm like, damn, you got some heavy hitters for this music video. But I guess this was right on the heels of The Reason. So at that point, Hoobastank was probably bigger or as big as all three of them. They probably were like, yeah, we'll be in the music video by this gigantic band. But I was trying to figure out, I'm like, how do I know this song so well? And so I'm like, I'm looking it up. I'm like, I don't understand, like, why I know every word of this song. Like, I was never, like, a fan of the band or owned one of the things. And then I saw it. You know what it is, Dave.
I know why I knew it.
Yeah, let's hear it. It's probably the same
reason. Why I knew it was because it was in a PlayStation 2 video game.
Sure was.
Called Test Drive, Eve of Destruction.
Wow.
It was also in Madden 05.
That's why.
Which might be what you're referring to.
Yeah, I knew it because of Madden. I mean, and when a song is in Madden and you play Madden all the time, like at the time I was living with my buddy Johnny, and we played Madden like all the time. Be like, you want to play Madden? Yeah, okay, let's play. That same song, you would hear it every time at the startup menu or mid-game or whatever. And this Same Direction song played more than any other song on that game. So yeah, that's why it's drilled into my
head. I was wondering why I knew this better than The Reason. Like, I thought this was a bigger hit than The Reason. And then I looked at like the charts and was like, wow, that doesn't make any sense. Like, what is going on? And then I realized that it was in a bunch of video games.
Yep.
And whenever a song's in a video game, it just like sticks with me like Superman by Goldfinger in the original Tony Hawk.
Absolutely.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.
By now, I'm sure you've at least heard about Factor, but if you haven't tried it yet, let me tell you as a guy who loves it, now is the time. Enjoy stress-free dining this spring with Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes. With 35 weekly options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie, plus over 60 add-ons, you'll stay fueled and feel fantastic all day long. Don't wait. Fuel up for your spring goals today with Factor. Factor offers you chef-prepared meals ready in just 2 minutes so you can spend more time doing what you love this spring. Indulge in gourmet options like filet mignon, shrimp, and fresh veggies without the hassle of prep or cleanup. Customize your weekly meals to fit your schedule perfectly and enjoy the convenience of Factor's no-fuss, no-mess approach. Plus, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long with Factor's low-carbon footprint options. Factor is your go-to solution for fast, premium meals, eliminating the need for cooking and empowering you to savor every moment. So head to factormeals.com/onehit50 and use the code 150 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code 150, the words one hit and the number 50, at factormeals.com/onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
They were on a lot of video games.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like almost every song that I clicked into on their page when it was like used in other media, like Crawling in the Dark appeared in Karaoke Revolution, MLB Slugfest 2004, and Aggressive Incline, which was basically like the Tony Hawk game for if you're really into Bladen.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Your favorite movie was Brink.
Yeah, if you loved Brink, boy, do we have a game for you.
And why is Hoobastank in so many of these? My theory would be they're just so safe. They're like middle of the road, like not too heavy to the point where it's going to like turn people off, but edgy enough that it's like, yeah, this is rock and roll. This rocks, dude. Like, you know, once again, kind of appealing to the lowest common denominator, even though I think that Hoobastank are musically pretty decent. Like, they're not terrible. We've definitely covered way worse bands than Hoobastank on here. So not as much as Incubus, but also a pretty shirtless singer. I've seen him shirtless a good bit. That's always like been in general, it's kind of a negative for me, usually.
You don't like Red Hot Chili Peppers then, huh?
You know, I am so confused about what I think about Red Hot Chili Peppers because, like, because on one hand, they were one of the first, like, rock bands I ever liked. They were the first, them and the Adam Sandler CD were the first CDs that I ever got that had a parental advisory on them. Anthony Kiedis is more than a voice. Yeah, he's not a very good singer, but those melodies are pretty great. He's a great energetic front man. I don't know. It's a conundrum because I feel like Red Hot Chili Peppers have written some amazing songs. No doubt.
Oh, like Soul to Squeeze is
that's
like
the one.
A masterpiece of a song.
That's
like
the one. And I mean, so many great songs, but I also think they've written some of the worst songs I've ever heard. So I got to just give them credit for just going for it. They've been around forever. I know they're a polarizing band. I've seen people say they're the worst band ever. I don't think that's the case.
No.
But they are the most shirtless band ever. They're definitely, and pantsless.
For sure.
And if you watch the Woodstock 99 documentary, also pantsless. I saw Flea's penis a lot in that thing. Also, they didn't really come off too good in that thing. they kind of came off as like, I don't blame the band for that thing, but they could have done a little more to like calm things down instead of fanning the flames literally by playing fire while things are on fire. I don't know. Who am I to say when you get caught up in the moment? I'm not blaming the Chili Peppers. We're not here to talk about the Chili Peppers.
I want to talk about before even Crawling in the Dark, back when they were a funk metal ska punk band in 1998.
Hoobastank.
The Hoobastank days. Yeah. They put out an album, a self-released album called They Sure Don't Make Basketball Shorts Like They Used To.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few things about this album that I want to mention. First of all, three of the songs feature samples of the comedian Thomas F. Wilson, who's Biff Tannen from Back to the Future.
Yep.
But it's nothing about Back to the Future. It's just that they really liked a comedy special he did and pulled samples from that for the album. It features
a song
called The Naked Jock Man.
Yep.
And then it says here, and Chris, going back to like safe bands that just feels edgy enough, and I feel like that describes this sentence. The final track on the album is called The Dance That Broke My Jaw. The song ends at 4 minutes and 23 seconds, followed by a hidden track in which the band prank calls a McDonald's.
Yep. Did you listen to it? Because it's ridiculous. It's just, so I don't know, it's presumably one of the band members, and he just does a woman and a dude saying they got a Big Mac and it had spaghetti and meatballs in it. I'm not joking, they put that on the album.
Wow.
So
wow.
There's spaghetti in my Big Mac. Like that. That's,
you know,
the track.
What's
the
funny
album.
Thing though? If I had let you guys do Goldfinger, we would also be talking about an album that ends with a weird prank call.
It's true.
We were all very heavily influenced by the Jerky Boys back in those days. So I understand.
That's fair.
I get it. Now you look at it and you're like, oh, you guys are pranking like someone making a minimum wage who's already having a shitty day and you're making their day worse. You should be pranking freaking a banker. Prank a banker.
Prank a banker.
Yeah, prank a banker. Prank a someone working on Wall Street. Prank those fucks, not the people working at the fast food restaurants. What I'm thinking bankers. I'm thinking of like the Monopoly man. Whatever the job is that you're,
I gotcha.
The Monopoly man. You have like a monocle and you have a bag of money with a dollar sign on it. That's who deserves to have a shake thrown in their face.
Can we talk about the year 2004 in general, which I guess until doing the research I did not realize was the year of Usher, where like So the only thing that kept this song from being a number one hit was that Usher's Burn was just holding that number one spot real tight. But Usher also had Confessions Part 2 at number 5 on the charts.
Wow.
And featuring Little John and Ludacris at 6 on the charts.
Wow.
And his album Confessions was the best-selling record both in the United States and globally.
Wow.
Yeah.
Usher.
That's incredible.
It. Usher is killing it. I mean, Confessions Part 2 is unreal. That song's unbelievable. Dan, you're telling me that the reason was never number one?
It was a number one modern rock hit song in 2004. And I appreciate you mentioning that, Chris, because I want to talk about all the other songs that were number one modern rock hits. And I'm doing this for a reason, pun intended. So like you said, people were like, what about Hoobastank? What about Crawling in the Dark? That was a number three modern rock hit. So like, therefore, they don't qualify. And I always refer to like the Would My Mom Know the Other Songs rule. Like, mm-hmm. like the Billboard charts is the most mainstream across the board. These are the biggest songs, regardless of genre. And when you look at like all of the number one songs that hit in 2004, there's definitely songs that I have never heard in my entire life that were number one modern rock songs. So here's a quick rundown of all of the songs in 2004 that hit number one on the modern rock charts. Hit That by The Offspring.
Don't know it.
Megalomaniac by Incubus. I Miss You by Blink-182. Last Train Home by The Lost Prophets. The Love Song cover by 311. Cold Hard Bitch by Jet, Lying From You by Linkin Park, which I don't remember that song, Check It Out by the Beastie Boys, which is insane that that was considered a modern rock hit because that is just straight hip hop, Slither by Velvet Revolver, Float On by Modest Mouse, Just Like You by 3 Days Grace, Breaking the Habit by Linkin Park, American Idiot by Green Day, Vertigo by U2, Pain by Jimmy World, and Boulevard of Broken Dreams by Green Day.
Wow, Pain was a number one modern rock song?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that. And yeah, Boulevard of Broken Dreams makes sense. An American Idiot and Float On. Yeah, man. I mean, there's some good.
But then you've got like Velvet Revolver. Like I couldn't hum that Velvet Revolver song if you paid me $1 million.
Nope. Okay. So hold on. My first exposure to Hoobastank, other than the reason being on Everything Everywhere, is I saw Velvet Revolver in concert and Hoobastank opened for them.
And supposedly there was some strong beef between the lead singer Hoobastank and Scott Weiland.
Yeah, I found that afterwards. I was like, apparently they weren't really getting at it. Yeah.
Wow. Scott Weiland was a wild man. I'm an STP fan, but he was wild for sure. Yeah, interesting. 2004, I mean, I'm looking at this. What were the... You also marked down the best-selling albums of that year, Matt. Encore by Eminem, Feels Like Home by Norah Jones, and Confession by Usher. Yeah, the year of Usher continues. I mean, I also see we didn't mention This Love by Maroon 5 was on there talking about middle-of-the-road sort of music, like the most generic music possible. All pretty interesting to throw ourselves back into this time. I think about 2004 for me and my band, we were touring a lot, and the Punchline album Action had come out at that time. I feel like maybe I was not paying attention to what was number one on modern rock so much, but I don't know. A lot of these songs have stood the test of time. I don't know what Hit That by The Offspring is.
It was not a good song.
Okay. Oh, The Offspring had a not good song? That's a real shocker.
How dare you? I fucking love The Offspring, but that is not a good song by The Offspring.
Okay. All right.
It was on arguably their worst album, Splinter.
Okay. All right. Well, is there anything else that we need to talk about before we make a decision here? And this is actually a tough decision. And we got four people voting today. And
I have something that's going to sway your decision.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's lyrics to the song Inside of You, which was post The Reason. And everything post The Reason is absolute garbage. They've completely fell off a cliff after The Reason.
They really couldn't figure, like, you listen to the newer albums, and it's like they couldn't figure out what they wanted to be. It's like every song is like so vastly different than the previous one that I just feel like they like completely lost their identity and just couldn't figure out what the heck was going on.
So here's quick lyrics. It's like five lines. Not to be forward, miss, but I think I'll kill myself if I ever knew what do I have to do to get inside of you. Because I love the way you move when I'm inside of you.
Wow.
What is wrong with Hoobastank?
Wow.
So this is the description, because I clicked into the wiki page for the song. The description of the song in the music video says this. Lyrically, the song contains clear sexual references while evading profanity. The music video for the song contains a well representation of these lyrics, as it shows the band behind a various peep show while attractive women watch them with pleasure. The song has been played at every live show since its release.
Wow. Michael, you brought those lyrics up, so it made me pull up the lyrics to the song we're talking about, The Reason. And I'm looking at these in front of me, and I'm like, oh my God, these might be the worst lyrics I've ever read.
This is the most first draft lyrics I've ever seen in my entire life. First draft?
I thought you were going to say first grade. These look like... the lyrics are... I'm going to read them. They're worth reading. There's not that many of them either because there's just like repetition.
There's not. They do a lot of repetition.
And I think that Michael had a good point about the I'm not a perfect person line that like... Everybody can just be like, oh, I did something horrendous today. Mm-hmm. I'm not a perfect person. There's many things I wish I didn't do, but I continue learning. I never meant to do those things to you. And so I have to say before I go that I just want you to know I found a reason for me to change who I used to be, a reason to start over new. And the reason is you. It's like Adam Sandler in the in what movie does he write the greeting cards?
Shit, is that Mr. Deeds?
Yeah, it's Deeds. Oh. That's Deeds.
Yeah, it is Mr. Deeds.
So
yeah.
So we have one more verse before it's just all repetition. It's I'm sorry that I hurt you. It's something I must live with every day. And all the pain I put you through, I wish that I could take it all away and be the one who catches all your tears. That's why I need you to hear. And that is all the lyrics, which is proof that, you know, if you're a songwriter out there and you're just doing your best to not only pour your emotions into a song, but also be unique and really dig down deep and write something awesome, that you're doing it all wrong. You just have to write the most generic bullshit ever, and it can become a huge song. Hoobastank, if you're listening, I think some of your songs are pretty cool. This song is trash. This song is garbage.
I'm going to throw something out there that I just realized. This is very clearly a breakup song, right? Like, there's no denying that there's nothing in these lyrics that say that they get back together. This is a breakup song where he's like, yo, I'm sorry I fucked up, but I wish you would take me back. I am positive that people have gotten married and this was their song.
100%.
Yeah.
So many Caucasians have tied the knot to this. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, all people who had never heard another song before. All people who this was the first song they ever heard. Anyway, here we go. We could have a split decision here. We got four. I don't think we've ever had four before on here. Let's start with Matt.
Oh, it's a blunder. I'm not even going to... I've never liked this song. I enjoyed Crawling in the Dark, but like one song does not make a band a thunder. Like, I wish that Crawling in the Dark was the bigger song that we were talking about. It may have gone differently, but that wasn't the big cultural phenomenon hit. It was the reason. So yeah, blunder all the way for me.
Okay, Michael, what you got? Thunder or blunder on this one?
It's tough because they actually had a somewhat like punk / ska sound on their first album, and they just went away from it to be pure radio rock. And by the time they hit their third major release, they were just already off the cliff. It's music that rich kids play paintball to, or like 40-year-old crusty people play at a dive bar at 1 a.m. It's just not for me, man. As much as I somewhat liked some of their first album, because they went away from it, I gotta go blunder. Okay. I gotta go blunder.
All right, we got two blunders, man. Dave.
Well, I have a feeling how this is gonna end, but I'm gonna say wonder just to make it exciting. But also, you know, I do think that Chris was right at the very beginning of the episode where he talked about how he thinks that this was kind of them following the cookie cutter rules to writing a hit and trying to be popular. But I think that some of their other stuff is pretty good. So as much as this song is, you know, definitely not their best thing, I think that they have other stuff to give, especially in their older albums.
Yeah, so you're giving them the thunder. And
or thunder, sorry.
This is such a strange one for me because usually it's, you know, you have some sort of opinion about the big song and you dive deeper into the catalog and decide if they're thunder based on that. This is an interesting one where I think some of their other songs are pretty good. And it's just that the big hit that we're talking about is so bad that, like, I can't get over it. And here's the thing. These guys, I don't know what they've had a music career forever because of it. They're probably super wealthy because of it. They don't have to worry about shit now because of this song that still gets played or whatever. But all those things doesn't mean that I have to like it. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to give it a thunder on our podcast where we talk about your thing. So you can have it all. But what you cannot have is a thunder, because I'm giving this the big blunder, Hoobastank. You know, I think some of your other songs are okay, but you're a blunder on this podcast.
I was very concerned that you were going to crazy town us.
No. I mean, and it's a shame because, you know, it's just this song is just too bad.
It's a really bad song.
It's really bad. It's the definition of lowest common denominator song. There's nothing interesting musically about it. There's nothing interesting lyrically about it. It is the most trite, overdone type of song ever. It's just, I don't know. And if it had one thing, it would be like real emotion, and it just feels like processed, overproduced, whatever. Like, I don't hear any real emotion in that. It's just, yeah, it's not good.
I have a question though for you.
Sure.
If you had an opportunity to do something like that with Punchline and just have one song that like super put you on the map, just so you never had to worry about it again, and you guys could just do what you wanted forever, didn't have to worry about money again, wouldn't you take that opportunity?
So in this scenario, let's say the reason by Hoobastank doesn't exist, and someone hands us this song and says, you guys play this song and you are gonna...
You're set.
It's a really interesting question. Because on one hand, I believe that I would like to take the success of that and make lots and lots of really great music, though, or at least, you know, try to like do cool things with it.
Yeah, do what you want. Yeah.
Do what you want. But not to sound pretentious, but the artist in me would be like, we can't do this. This song, we can't do it. Luckily, this isn't a thing that anyone ever actually experiences. Well, I don't know. Maybe some artists do experience that. Not usually.
I was going to say, Five said no to Bye Bye Bye.
Right. I mean, not usually. It doesn't usually happen in rock music, I guess I should say. I'm sure it does. You
but
know?
I also think a lot of times when people are saying no to it, they don't realize the level of...
Sure. Right.
Excitement that it'll generate.
Right.
Yeah, I guess also if someone handed you these lyrics and said, if you record this, it'll be the biggest song in the world, you'd be like, you fucking with me?
Like, I think that if anybody in my band, say Hoobastank didn't exist, no one ever heard this song, if somebody in my band in 2003 or 2004 picked up an acoustic guitar, came over and said, hey, I wrote this song and played it, I think that all the rest of the three of us would be like, eh. Nah, I really think that like when you, it's yeah. just, it's so just boring that I think all of us would have been like, no, I don't think so.
I honestly think the only thing that this song has going for it is that I do think that the little guitar riff in the background is cool.
Like, guitar riff, and then the transition of that to the chords that it plays into the chorus. It's just like going from that little riff to the solid chords, I feel like, is the only thing that like really actually like generates that memory instinct to like kick
Don't
in.
Don't make me second guess myself here. I'm not a perfect person, but maybe we are all being affected a little bit by the fact that this has been pounded in our brains for decades to the point where it's like, oh God, why? Why is that song on instead of something else?
Just trying to make the point that I don't fault Hoobastank for taking an opportunity to write a hit and continuing to just do what they wanted to do. Turns out continuing to do what they wanted to do wasn't very good, but if it was, we wouldn't be talking.
Right. Hoobastank, not perfect people, not a perfect song, but probably pretty nice people, have some other good songs, and sorry, you're a blunder here, but you're obviously a thunder in the world of music, so congratulations.
and real quick before we sign off, but how about one last quick plug for Center Cut Podcast?
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having us. As you mentioned during the show, that's what we do. We watch the beginning and end of something, whether it's a TV show or a movie, TV season or a movie, and we field questions to guess about the middle, and it is ridiculous. It's irreverent. But we have a lot of fun, and you should probably come check us out because people are having a good time.
Hell yeah.
This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Ophalios of the bands Punchline Pack and Another Cheetah and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing Just Getting Started off of the Punchline album Action. Visit punchline.com for merch, music, and upcoming shows. If you have any interest in podcasting, visit weknowpodcasting.com for how Matt and Chris can make your show sound as professional as possible. Let us know your thoughts on the show by emailing us at onehitthunderpodcast@gmail.com. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. Tune in next week for another episode of One Hit Thunder. Seems they do it to me purposely to me. I'm not done yet. I'm just getting started. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hey, you. Did you have any plans this year? Ha! How's that going? Did you get 2020'd? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020'd, where myself, Benny Goodman, and my good friends Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020'd.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-D.com, SoundTalentMedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob Podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.